I don't know that I've ever done this before when I've been here, but this is a book. I wish I had written it, but I at least have the privilege of reading it. And I don't normally go around like just, you know, pushing books, but this book, I would encourage everybody to get this. It's called Gratefulness, The Heart of Prayer. And it's written by a guy named David Steidel Rast. And I'll have it up here. You can write all the information down. You can get it at Amazon. It's not expensive. This guy, I mean, I'm going to be talking about thankfulness this morning, but this brother, he's a monk, I think has caught the heart of God in gratefulness and has put it in such a way that is empowering and life-changing when we start to understand what it means to be grateful. We sing about, you know, I want to come with a grateful heart. Well, what does that mean? What does it really mean to be grateful? What does gratefulness look like when it works itself out in us on a day-to-day basis? And I want to talk a little bit about this morning. It's something that I've kind of been on for a while. I was given a book back in the early part of the year written by a lady named Dr. Carolyn Leaf. And if you're familiar with her stuff, it's amazing. It's not an easy read because it's very technical. She's a psychiatrist and is a research something another. So her whole life is in neuroscience research. And brother, I appreciated your testimony because you set me up. So your testimony was just what I needed. So I started reading this, and the title of her book is Shifting Your Brain, something like that. Make sure I give you the right title, I'll have you in the wrong book. Well, I can't get to that one right now, but I'll have that one for you if you're interested in that as well. But when that book was given to me, it's talking about, okay, I mean, how do we want to preface this? Let me regroup for a moment. I think what I'm going to do, I've got about six rabbits in a box, and I'm going to let all six rabbits out at once. We're going to run down those trails, and in the end, I'm going to catch them and put them all back in the box so it makes sense at the end. So bear with me, because we're going to have to chase them down the trail to catch them to put them back in the box, if that's okay. And I did not learn this at the school on how to give good sermons. This is just like, what do you do when you got a bunch of stuff in your head and you only get to see a group of people for a short period of time? You just let the rabbits out. You just got to let them out and let them go. So this book was given to me, Switch On Your Brain, by Dr. Carolyn Leaf. And what she was talking about is what they're discovering now in neuroscience and what is actually happening inside of our heads. Now, we were given an organ, the organ called the brain. We also have intelligence. The brain is not intelligence. Intelligence is something that sits over here. The brain is what's inside my skull. My brain is, it's fluid, it's flesh, it's electrical circuits, it's chemical circuits, it's a lot of things that are firing all the time. The brain never stops. It's collecting things, doing things, moving things around, and it's helping me as a person develop my intellect. So my intellect, my memory, my frame of reference, my whole fight or flight mechanisms, all these things that make me a person are all being developed. So what we know is like when a baby is born, the brain, you know, there are certain things we know. If a two-year-old came up to me and I said, now look, you know you've got to get to bed early because, you know, in 3 years it's going to be really important for you to understand that. Well, the children at that age, future doesn't exist for them. Everything they do only exists in the now. So if I start talking to a child about future events, the child just thinks, can I have some candy? Because what I'm saying There's no grid. The brain hasn't developed to the point that the child can now think in future concepts, it can only think in present. So, and they're starting to learn, the child is starting to learn, that certain things, as I do them by repetition, then all of a sudden I'll know how to do it. And I think a great example of that is, you know, I'm sure you guys all know how to ride a bike, right? A two-wheeler. Yeah. But there was a time when you didn't know how to ride a two-wheeler, right? And like the first time you got on the two-wheeler, and did it have training wheels on it? No. Mine had training wheels on it. You know, and so it was real steady, and then at some point my dad raised the training wheels, you know, so the bike would fall this way, and then it would kind of fall that way, but it wouldn't fall over. And then there was that magical day. I don't know if other fathers did this. My father took one wheel off. And I'm still not sure what to make of that. I've asked that in Sozo a couple times. I'm not sure if there were some other things that were going on in that event. But one wheel came off, and I learned to ride a bike, you know, ultimately with a two-wheel. Well, riding a bike is a great example of what we're going to be talking about and looking at, in that the first time I get on a bike, I don't know how to ride it. I don't know how to set my balance and coordination, my motor skills. There's a lot of things that come into play learning to ride a bike, and the first time I don't know how to do it. So I pedal, I fall over, I run into things, but I work at it, and at a certain point there's that magic moment where all of a sudden you feel it. Everything shifts. I've gone from not knowing what I'm doing to all of a sudden I'm pedaling around. I'm riding in circles. I went from this end of the parking lot to that end of the parking lot. What is happening in all that? Now, we would say at a casual thing, well, you're just learning to ride a bike. Yes, you are, but what is learning, what's happening when I'm learning? My brain is literally building pathways at the moments that I'm sitting on the bike. So inside this organ called the brain, electrical circuits are being created that did not exist before, that takes what I see, what I'm experiencing, and it builds a pathway, and it ties a memory to that pathway, so that now I'm riding a bike. Well, one of the things that happens when we're riding a bike is memories that get created might be, I rode the bike pretty good for two or three times, and then something happened, I fell over, I skinned my knee, I experienced a lot of pain, and I look at the bike and go, that thing's an enemy. It's not a friend. I don't know why my parents bought this for me. This is dangerous. And if we can think back, the next time I got on the bike, what did I have to overcome? I had to overcome fear. And my fear was not an irrational fear. It's a fear based on experience and memory. And that pathway that was built in my brain when I fell off the bike, my brain literally created an electrical circuit, an electrical pathway that took an experience, planted it in my conscious, so I'm conscious of this, and so the next time I go to ride the bike, I'm actually having to overcome a circuit that's in my brain that was created from an experience. Now, what's the next step? I overcome the fear, I get back on the bike, and I start riding again. Well, I ride well, and then I ride well, and then I ride well, and then I discover riding a bike is actually fun. It's enjoyable. And all of a sudden, the fear lessens. I don't have this sense of fear every time I get on the bike. I actually now have a sense of excitement because I'm doing something that's pleasurable. What has actually happened in my brain? My brain literally rejects the pathway that was based on fear and has established a new pathway based on a good experience. You with me? This isn't science class. I'm not trying to make it that way. But this is actually the Bible. Let us renew our minds. There's a lot of things that the Bible talks about that happens, all right? So happens in reality. So my brain now has created this new pathway, And at a certain point, if I keep riding the bike and it keeps being pleasurable, there's a certain point where what's at my conscious level has now been placed in my subconscious level. You with me? So the brain has literally built a new path, placed an emotion to it, placed an experience or experiences to it, and now planted it in my subconscious. So for me today, I haven't ridden a bike in quite some time. I have a car. I have a whole new set of firing mechanisms in my brain. I have a car that when you push on the accelerator, it'll get down the road. I have good experiences. A few tickets as well. Those are there. Those experiences are there as well. But generally, it's a good experience. So I haven't ridden a bike in a long time. But if I just sit and think and bring back memory of riding a bike, it's very pleasurable to me. I can think of the roads that I've ridden down as a kid. I can think of places I've gone. I can think of friends of mine that we all rode bikes together. The bikes became this communal ability for us to connect with each other, to do things for each other, to all the things that we do. The bike made it possible. I have very good memory of a bike. But that memory exists in my subconscious, and during the day, I don't normally think about riding a bike. But I can if I turn my attention there. Okay. I'm trying to lay some foundations. That first rabbit we've almost caught. So as we start thinking about thankfulness, as we start thinking about being grateful, as we start thinking about things that affect us on a day-to-day basis, the important thing to see and what I want us to ponder through a little bit today is that I actually have the ability, you have the ability to rewire your brain. There's a tendency in people to say, well, that's just the way I am. I can't be anything else. That's just, maybe we'll even go so far and say, well, that's how God created me. I can't be anything else. No, you can. You can. When you had your stroke, there were circuits in your brain that shut down, that weren't able to connect with each other, weren't able to communicate. So even though parts of the brain is firing, which is saying that the hand should do this, the hand can't get that signal because the stroke has interfered. Well, what happens over time? What happens in healing? What happens as things change is that the brain literally starts building new pathways. And if I keep working at it, all of a sudden, this hand that I can look at it and go, it should close, but it just does that. At a certain point, it does that. How did it do that? My brain has built new pathways, but I have to work at that. I have to be at a place that I'm adding experience, I'm adding involvement to make it do that. If I just say, I've had a stroke, I'll never walk again, I'm always going to be like this, and I just sit down in a chair, that's where I'll stay. My brain will not build those new pathways if I have given up and just said, this is it. This is it. You didn't do that. You know, the scripture speaks to you. The scripture challenged you. The scripture began to give you that place to say, this is where I'm focusing. I'm not going to stay here. You with me? So we're building new pathways. Okay. Rabbit number one is now back in the box. So I want to get to kind of the main thing today, or one of the main rabbits today, is this idea of thanksgiving. One of the things that most of my life I've had to deal with is I can be very melancholy. So there's times I just really like rainy days. I'm sure there's nobody else in the room that likes this, because everybody's going, oh man, it's raining. I'm like, oh man, it's raining. There's something about the darkness of a rainy day, the sounds of a rainy day, just the fact that it's raining, I don't know. And I, in those days, will become very introspective. I'm more introverted than extroverted. So I'll lock myself away in those days. I don't really need to talk to anybody in those days. My wife will oftentimes, you know, buddy, you're not going to say anything. Do I have to? I mean, if I don't have to, no. No, I don't. I mean, if you need me to say something, I will, but I'm kind of caught up in my thoughts. And my thoughts, oftentimes on those days, and when I use this word, I don't go too far with this word, but my thoughts in those days will be darker than they are on other days. I'll be more pessimistic on those days than I... for me, those are not the days that I'm going to launch a new adventure in life. I don't want to. I don't like new adventures. I'm not friends with new adventures. It's a rainy day. Today I get to think about all the things that I tried that didn't work. Today I get to think about all the stupid stuff I've done in life that I wish I had not done. That's what rainy days are for. It's for an accounting. So, for me, coming to this place of starting to understand thankfulness and starting to understand how my brain works, what I realized, part of this has been through what I've learned in Sozo and experienced in Sozo and other things that I've read, that early on as a child, I had certain experiences that ingrained in me, built pathways, ultimately became part of my subconscious, that those days, those rainy days, reminded me of childhood events and things that had happened that weren't pleasant. And they were, if you want to use the term, they were triggers. Because not every rainy day did I just go sit in the corner and pout all day. It wasn't, I mean, other rainy days I did other stuff. But I have a tendency, I can go there if I want to go there on a rainy day. So what I realize is that these childhood experiences have worked their way into my subconscious. So then they become triggers when today's events come along and something will catch me by surprise. And some, maybe not always by surprise, but things will catch me. And then I'll start moving into this thinking pattern. And what I'm doing in that thinking pattern, I'm actually pulling up past experience out of my subconscious and then bringing it into my conscious world, and that's how I'm going to live today. What has shifted for me over these last couple years, and especially this year, it's been just a point of... It's been a point of work for me. Once I became aware of it, I realized I'm going to have to work at this. This has to be something that I have to do at my conscious level. It's something I have to do by habit, and I don't have the habit, so I've got to create the habit, and that is to have the habit of thankfulness. So thankfulness, let's look at this. Thanksgiving, the word. It means the act of rendering thanks or expressing gratitude for favors or mercies. The primary meaning of Thanksgiving is a public celebration of divine goodness. Thanksgiving is a public celebration of divine goodness. So, what does it mean to be thankful? Now, so we'll park thankfulness right here for a moment, and I wanna let another rabbit out because it really works with that one, and that is the rabbit of surprise. Now, many of us don't like surprises. I'm telling you, surprises is what Father God does. His whole creation is a surprise. He likes us to be surprised by the things that He does. And oftentimes, we'll elevate surprise to it's only the big events. Oh, I had my 21st birthday and it was such a surprise. They had this whole thing and I walked in. I just thought I was going out to dinner with Mom and, you know, wow, that was really big. And those are big, and big surprises are cool, and I'm not minimizing them. But what I want to say is that in our Heavenly Father, His interaction with us is full of surprises, and He wants us to live in the realm of surprise. Have you ever noticed, like, with a real small child, infant even, you know, we play the peekaboo game, right? When do they get tired of that? I mean, you can peekaboo all day, and you're sticking your head out from behind the same pillow, and you're making the same goofy face, and they're like, ah! Ah! And they'll do that all day. They never get tired of being surprised. I actually believe that that's the experience Heavenly Father is looking for us to have with Him. And our surprises aren't always the big thing. Our surprises are just life. Not all surprises are good, but all surprises are life. Not all surprises do we want to live again, but all surprises, I submit to you, all surprises will lead us to the heart of the Father, because they're designed by Him to get us there. He's not the author of the event. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Life is life. We're all going to live it. We're all subject to it. The universal laws that we all live under, I can't change those. God can do heavenly intervention and, you know, momentarily shut them off. But the basic life is what life is. You know, I can be nailing a nail and miss the nail and hit my thumb and turn it black. It's really illegitimate to say, well, God, why did you let that happen? Because He's going to go, you missed the nail. If you'd hit the nail, you wouldn't have hit the nail. You missed. Yeah, but why'd you let me miss? You were swinging the hammer. There's elements of life. We are all subject to it all the time. I'm standing here. You're sitting there. We're all subject to gravity. I can jump out the window and say, Jesus, save me. And you guys are going to call the ambulance. Because I'm not going to fly. I'm not going to do some weird thing and fly. I'm going to go out the window and straight to the ground at mass times gravity. And when mass times gravity hits an immovable object, whatever's moving breaks. It's the law. It doesn't change. So I'm subject to that. So in the midst of life, though, life is bringing us always back to the Father. That's His design. Paul said in Philippians, he said, that he said, you know, I've counted all things as lost. I've suffered this. I've suffered that. He said, but this is where I'm after. That when it's all said and it's all done, that I'm found in Christ. That is the adventure of this thing called life. We're all passing through this once. I get one shot at this. And at 63, the shot's getting shorter. I don't know how short it is, but it's shorter than when I was 5. Looking at my life, I'm surprised I've made it to 63. But I'm here. But it's shorter than it was. But I only get one chance. You only get one chance at this thing. And through it, the Father's intention is that all things have come from Him. All things exist through Him. And all things return to Him. The goal is that I be found in Christ. God created me. He created you to have fellowship with us. He did not create us to be religious robots. He did not create us to just be people that all we think about is, did I keep the rule today? Did I keep the rule today? No. He created you. He created me so that at the end of the day we can say, did I know God today? Did I see Him? Or did I live this whole day just focused on my desks, focused on my papers, focused on this, whatever it is? Did I live the whole day and all I saw is just what's tangible and in front of me? Or today, did I find a surprise along the way that was God Himself? Did He ambush me somewhere? And it doesn't have to be the ambush of some huge revelation. This week I bought two new pieces of farm machinery. Bless Jesus. And so my wife seems to think that, you know, you would refer to them as boy toys. I see them more as essential elements of work. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So I had one of my essential implements on the back of the tractor, and I'm working in our driveway. And I'm going back and forth. Our driveway is almost a half a mile long. I'm going back and forth rolling the driveway. And at a certain point, I'm coming back, and I found myself surprised. And what was I surprised with? I was just surprised with life. I was surprised with joy that at this particular moment, I'm sitting on a tractor, and I'm doing what's in my heart to do, and I'm enjoying it. And I was surprised because the land that we live on, my great-grandfather bought that land in the 1890s. So I was filled with this sense of joy that my great-grandfather bought this land. And here I am, right here in 2016, on that very same land, finding joy in the same thing my great-grandfather found joy in when he bought the land. And I was surprised by that. And I just enjoyed that. It didn't stay for a long time, but it was something that came into my conscience, and it filled me with joy. And I just submit to you that there's these places in life that we get so busy, we get so wrapped up in, I got to do this, and I got to do this, and I got to accomplish that, and I have to be this, and we're built to build. We're built to explore. We're built to look at things and go, well, why can't it be different? We're built that way. God put that in us. That's not a bad thing, but it can't be the controlling thing. Because what he really wants us to do, and the reason he built us that way, is that we get the surprise of his presence in the most unusual places. And my tendency had been, if it didn't seem spiritual, then it wasn't. And I've come to the place in life in realizing God is spirit. Those that want to find him are going to have to find him in spirit and truth. I'm spirit. My spirit is connected to his spirit. Therefore, my life is spirit. So it's not just when we assemble to worship, which is spiritual. It's cutting the grass. It's bathing the baby. It's sitting on the couch. It's everything. Everything. He's in it. And when I started to see that, my heart shifted. And I realized through various things that I read about how I can reprogram my brain, I've started to focus on being thankful and not just take events for granted. I'm a light sleeper, so for me to sleep all the way through the night is not my normal night. I'll wake up multiple times. Sometimes, I'll lay awake most of the night waiting for the sun to come up so I can get up. Because it's like, this whole sleep thing, it ain't happening. But I don't feel like getting up in the dark at 3 in the morning. So I'm not going to sleep. My wife is sleeping well, but being next to her in bed is far more pleasurable than getting up and sitting in a chair in the dark waiting for the sun to come up. So it takes me a while to catch on to some things, but I've decided that staying next to her in bed is far better than getting up at 3 waiting for the sun to come up at 6. So I'm learning some things. I'm grasping some things. And you guys are probably going, what in the world is he talking about? I thought he was going to be sharing stuff out of the Bible. And actually I am. And next week, Pastor Steve is going to explain to you out of the Bible all the stuff I talked about this week. Okay, now we've got to take care of a couple rabbits because we're running the clock. So this idea of thanksgiving, this idea of learning to be thankful. Psalms 26:7-8 says, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and declare all your wonders, O Lord. I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. So, thanksgiving is this place that wells up inside of me when I go, I love the house of the Lord. This is not the house of the Lord. That is the house of the Lord. You are the house of the Lord. And I start to go, okay, in thanksgiving, I want to learn to be sensitive to appreciate the moment. I want to be sensitive that when I feel something rise up that is a subconscious path that I created years ago that, let's say, was negative, and that thing starts to come back to me, I want to be at a place where instead of going, no, in Jesus' name, go away, in Jesus' name, get down, in Jesus' name, be still. We do all that stuff, and we'll be doing Jesus' names for the next 4 days. And the thing will get louder the more you do it. Why? Because you've turned your attention to it. Ignore it. It doesn't exist. What I'm going to do is turn my attention to thanksgiving. So then I'm in a place of going, okay, that used to be negative, but Lord, thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for who you are. And we start wherever we are. I can't, I forget who said this, but it just really made sense. I can't start from where I'm not. That's simple, but profound. For many of us, I might look at you or look at you or hear you say something, and in my mind, I'm trying to start from where you are. I can't start from where you are. I can only start from where I am. This is all I got. And you go, well, I'm just a negative person. I'm fearful all the time. I just see, you know, everybody else is seeing rainbows, and all I see is dragons. I mean, that's just the way I am. I don't know. Okay, that's where you are. Yes. Okay. Start there. You go, well, I just, my mind is filled with all kinds of negative thoughts. Start where you are. Start to develop thankfulness where you are. Wherever you can find it. What are you thankful for? All of us have some place of thankfulness. I don't care how much tragedy is going on in our life. There is some place of thankfulness. Find it. And just start there. And build from that. Okay? It really is that simple and that difficult at the same time. Because those of us that have spent most of our life building negative thoughts, when we start talking about renewing our mind, I wish it was so easy that at the end of this time, I could say, okay, everybody that wants their mind renewed, just come up, we're going to lay hands on you, and bam, you're going to get a renewed mind. Ain't happening. We'll pray for you, but you're going to have to go home and work that thing out. You're going to have to practice. You know, I was having trouble with my back, and one of the guys that I had breakfast with, he was having the same type of trouble, and he's like, you know, I started doing planks. He goes, and planks have really strengthened my back, and since I've been doing planks, since I've been doing it for about a year now, he goes, man, I haven't had any back issues. I'm like, what the heck's a plank? I mean, a plank's something I use to nail something to. And he's like, no, it's actually, just Google it. I'm like, oh, that's, I forgot. You can Google anything now. So I Googled planks, and it showed me a 3-minute exercise drill for planks. I'm like, 3 minutes? Because all the exercise stuff I try in the past, you know, it's like 30 minutes. It's like eternity. I'm like, I think I can do 3 minutes. The hardest 3 minutes of my life. Like the first thing, it's like, you know, you just get down on the floor on your elbows and you hold your back straight. 30 seconds. 30 seconds. What's 30 seconds? I sit in a traffic light longer than that. Longest 30 seconds of my life. By the time I got done, my stomach's vibrating. My breathing is accelerating. I'm sweating. I'm like, in 30 seconds I did this. And that was only the first position. I still haven't got all the way through. But I'm going to do it. But at some point, I had to begin. I could not just lay in bed and go, I'm going to do plank someday, and I think there's going to be something that happened. No, at some point, I actually had to get down on the floor and do those things and experience them. We're going to have to do that. If I'm going to learn thankfulness, if I'm going to learn thanksgiving, if I'm going to be at this place where I lift up a voice of thanksgiving, if I'm a person that's not prone to that, I'm going to have to discipline myself to that. Now, I would submit to us, and we're going to put all the rabbits back in the box here. I would submit to us that when I start to learn the voice of thanksgiving, when I start making that part of my lifestyle, you'll be surprised. Now, this is out of my own experience. You'll be surprised at how quickly Holy Spirit activates thanksgiving. You'll be surprised at how quickly Holy Spirit will start giving you places where you start being thankful for things that you weren't thankful for before. And the eyes of my understanding, the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. Right? That's what the scripture talks about, eyes of understanding being enlightened. How are they enlightened? I start to see life differently. Piece by piece, piece by piece. You know, you work for quite a while to get to where you were when you laid there in the hospital to where you are right now. It's been piece by piece. It hasn't been linear. There's been some days it was more down than up. But you don't quit because today wasn't good. I don't quit because today I only did a minute 20 seconds. Well, that would be a good day. I only did 32 seconds of planks. No, then tomorrow I do it again. I just keep doing it. I'm building a stamina that eventually I'll pull off the whole 3 minutes and then I'll be looking at other positions to extend it. But I haven't got there yet. But I will get there, but I'm going to have to work at it. So as I'm learning thankfulness, the Holy Spirit will give us the eyes of understanding so we start seeing things from a thankful standpoint. We start appreciating the little things. It's like, and maybe we'll close with this thought. Well, let me read. This is a quote actually out of that book. Joy is the true expression of gratefulness. If you want joy, you're going to have to be grateful. You're not going to get joy outside of gratefulness. So I'm going to have to develop that. But joy is the true expression of gratefulness. Thanksgiving is the gesture of the whole heart, or it is nothing. If thankfulness doesn't take in my whole heart, then I'm not thankful. Thankfulness starts to be consuming. As I said, with my sleep habit, I've come to this place now, when I sleep all the way through, when I wake up in the morning, the first thing I do is like, man, Jesus, that was incredible. We slept so good last night, didn't we? I'm so thankful for that. That was just an awesome sleep. Man, the pillow felt right. Covers were the right, blankets were the right temperature. Man, Jesus, it was just, and I'll spend time being thankful for a full night's sleep. And then I'll get up and do planks. But you just start where you are, and I just can't stress this enough for all of us. We if we're not careful, we spiritualize things to the point that somehow I want God to do it outside of my involvement in the process. When really, in relationship with the Father, He does it with me in the process. It's always geared towards me being in the process. God isn't wanting to be removed from us, doing something from the outside coming into us. He wants to do it with us in the process. In the garden, Adam and Eve, what were they to do? They were to take care of the garden with Him. And when they blew that, what was God's response? He was looking for them. This is about relationship. We do it together. It was always intended to be together. Whatever I'm doing, we do it together. And a final story, I was supposed to be here back in the spring or late winter, whenever it was. And I ended up with a case of acute appendicitis. And my appendix were actually dead. They were dried up and just real nasty. And I won't go into all those details. But, I went into the emergency room, wasn't sure what was wrong. First, I thought I didn't know what I had. And this thing, has a hole in it.
Oh, my.
It's going to start dripping off the edge. Jesus, I'm thankful for invention, for insight. So I went in, and they had to do an emergency appendectomy. And when I came out of, people came into the hospital, people were praying for me. We had guests at the house that morning for breakfast. They prayed for me. I just thought I had a stomach bug or something. And so all day, Linda went to work. I'm laying in bed. I'm in an excruciating pain all day, thinking this is not like a stomach virus because, it just isn't. And so when she got home, I think I should just go to the emergency room. So for me to actually say I need to go to the hospital, she's like, yeah, something must really be wrong because that's not even in your vocabulary. I'm like, no, it's not. And so people came in and they prayed for me. Ultimately the surgeon comes in, says what she needed to do. I go to surgery. When I come out and they took me up to the room, I started just thanking my body. I started thanking my body for letting me know that there was something wrong. I started thanking my body for taking good care of me. I started thanking my body for the healing process. I started seeing the parts of my body that needed to be healed and expressing healing over them. I was literally speaking to my body. Right? You go, well, that's a little weird. No, it's not. It's you. Spirit, soul, body. Speak to your body. Don't. There's discovery and surprises there. Believe me. And so I just started thanking my body. I started thanking it for what it had done. I started speaking healing over it. And the nurse came in and throughout the night, if you come out of surgery in a hospital, it's like you're not going to get any rest because every 15 minutes they're checking your vitals, they're asking you questions, how do you feel? And so she came in, are you feeling nauseous? I'm like, no, I feel fine. Well, what's your pain level? I'm not really having any pain. You're not having any pain? No. None at all. I said, well, I know I've been operated on, but I feel worse than this after I cut the yard. No, I don't have any pain. She said, and you're not feeling nauseous. No, I'm not nauseous. I'm hungry, not nauseous. Well, you can't have anything to eat because you'll throw up. Okay. So all night these questions went on. And the answer was simple. I said, no, I'm not having any pain. And I wasn't. I was not having any pain. And they're just looking at me I'm an alien or something. And when they would leave, I'm just praying in the spirit. I'm thanking my body. I'm really rejoicing. And by morning, when the shift changed, a new nurse came in. They went through this whole dialogue again about the fact that, I hadn't had any nausea, I wasn't having any pain. And she gives me this lecture about, we don't want the pain to get ahead of us. We'd rather start giving you pain medicine now, because if it gets ahead of you, it's going to take a while for it to, subside. So, we'd really like to start the medication now, and I'm like, I'm good. If I have any pain, I'll let you know, but I'm good. So she gave me the lecture about pain one more time. And I'm thinking, you see the happy face chart on the wall? I'm at zero, lady. I'm at zero. I'm not even at five. I'm at zero. I don't want any medication. So the doctor came in the morning. asked me the same questions, went through the same dialogue, and she's like, well, boy, everything's good. She goes, you know, I think you can go home. Sounds good to me. So by afternoon, what, 2 o'clock, they discharged me. I got operated on 10 the night before. At 10 the next morning, or at 2 the next morning, or at 2 the next afternoon, so not 24 hours. I come home, and I never did have, to this day, I've not had any pain from the whole surgery deal. And I, you know, and I'm not saying this to like lay an absolute, that's not what I'm trying to say. Because I realize we're all going to walk through this stuff, and there's other times I've had pain at other instances. But what I began to see in this event was this whole idea of thankfulness and what thankfulness does, and that during that time, if I had laid there in bed, concentrated on pain, and in a sense accepted the report that I'm supposed to be nauseous, I'm supposed to be having pain, it should be acute pain probably for 24 hours, if that's what I focused on, I'm fairly confident that's what I would have had. But because I focused on thankfulness, I'm just, God, thank you, thank you. I mean, like the surgeon said later, she said, if the pain had not come, or you had just kind of toughed it out and laid there in bed, and it might have taken a couple days, but the pain would have subsided, she said, the appendix had actually become gangrenous. And she said, by the time it flared again, it would have affected your colon, it would have affected your spleen, and when you came in, you would have been extremely sick, and we wouldn't have known what was wrong with you, and it would have taken us quite a bit of time to figure it out. As it was, none of my other organs were affected. They removed what needed to be removed, and I'm good. I'm golden. I like it. I'm not going to have to carry that thing around and have it ever flare up. And it's like, God, I'm thankful for that. And I started to develop that line of thinking about being thankful. And our bodies respond to that. Now, I'm not talking about mind over matter. That's not where I'm going with this. I'm just saying I am a spirit being. I live in this body. This body is sensitive to God, to what my Father, the way He's created me. He gives me understanding. At least my body gave me a signal and said, you need to do something. And the pain, where I can look at pain and go, well, pain's not a good thing, and I don't like pain. But when my body is feeling pain, it's telling me a story that I should listen to the story. What's that? What's going on? Well, okay, well, I listened to it. And out of that, I was brought to this place where I was healed. And I was thankful. All right? So I feel like, okay, so this is where we're going to land. So that, let's put that rabbit back in. This is the last rabbit, and that rabbit's trail isn't very long. In the idea of thankfulness, how do we as a community of believers, how do we live in a place of thankfulness? And this is what I really want to leave us with as we're going to break up here in a minute. Just look around this room. Every one of us are different. We're wired different, we look different, we think different, we come out from different aspects of life, we have different life experiences. But in the midst of that, you all are here. And in the midst of being here, Heavenly Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is knitting us together in ways that build a thankful community. Now, I've been to churches where they're not thankful. I don't even know why they all show up, because they're mad at each other almost all the time. And eventually, they don't show up. You know, it either completely blows up or whatever. I'm just saying, we've been created to be in this thing called an ecclesia, which is the gathering of the saints. And when we come together, it's really that there is this place in each of us that we get to see and appreciate God in the person that I'm looking at. I get to appreciate the God in you, the God in you, the God in you, the God in you, because each of us have our story. Each of us are having this thing called a life, this life journey with Jesus in the heart of the Father. It's different for every one of us. We're not the same, but I can start to be thankful for who you are. Because when I can see that, when I can be thankful, then there's a joy. And where there's this joy, there starts to be an appreciation that my life is richer because of you. Most of you folks, I only get to see maybe once a year. But I'm telling you, my life is richer because I know you. You add something to me that I couldn't get if I didn't know you. It only happens through relationship. It only happens through thankfulness. And when we come together, man, we can all look at each other and see the warts on the other person's nose. They're all there. We all see it. But come on. That's not what we've been created to be. We've been created to be this vessel where God pours His glory in us and through us and works us with one another. We rub each other the wrong way. Sometimes we rub each other the right way on other days. But this thing is called life. It's called the kingdom of God. And it's what makes us the church. The church was never intended to just be this monolithic group of people that all think the same way, talk the same way. Man, you show up and it's like, what do you guys got, the same tape inside of you? If I answer the question, you all answer the question exactly the same. What the heck? This is like something out of a horror movie. That's not the church. The church is like, well, what do you think about this? Well, I think about this. Well, what do you think? Well, I think that. Well, what did you see? Well, I saw that. Well, what did you experience? Well, I experienced that. Well, that's different than mine. Your life experience makes my life experience richer and fuller. The way we've been intended to be. It's the way we've been created to be. It starts first as husband and wife. That mystery works itself out. But that mystery of husband and wife is the mystery of the church. It's the mystery of the body of Christ. It's what Paul tells us. So we spend our whole life learning how to live with this other person. So two become one, but we're still two people. Linda and I do not think almost at all alike. I mean, we're coming up. We'll be married 40 years Christmas Eve, and I mean, if opposites attract, we must have ran head on to each other at 20 miles an hour, man. Because I'm like, we just don't think, you know. We can laugh at it now. We argued about it in other days because I was trying to get her to understand how right I am. And then I realized that things go much better if I understand how right she is. And once that shift came, life took on a whole new dynamic, and it's been good. It's good. And she's brilliant. So, thankfulness. Let's develop that. Let us be at this place. And I apologize. There's like 16 scriptures here, and I'm not going to read those all to you right now. Your assignment. When I leave, just go to your concordance and just put in the word thanksgiving. And just look at all the scriptures from one end of the Bible to the other. It's a book of thanksgiving. It's a book of joy. It's not a book about rules. It's about a relationship between the Creator and what He's created. And an invitation for us to come to Him as His children, not hide ourselves, but actually come open, exposed before Him, and just learn to be thankful in His presence. Life has its ups and downs. Many of us have had tragedies in life, some more than others, but, you know, tragedy is a relative thing. If it's your tragedy, it's a big deal, no matter what it is. You know, but life is made to be full. It's made to live in the realm of surprise, live in the realm of joy. And I don't know. I want to be like the kid, that no matter how many times Father God pops His head out from behind the pillow, I'm as excited this time as I was the very first time He did it. And I want to play the game all day. I love hide and seek with Him. And okay, I think the rabbits are back in the boxes. Let's just... thank you for your patience. Jesus, I thank you for you. For what you have done for us, that you have reconnected us to the Father, that you were crushed and we were healed. Thank you for the fellowship of the saints. Teach us, Lord. Teach us to be thankful for each other. Teach us to hear the stories as each of us tell them. Lord, help us to be better listeners. Lord, I pray over this community, over this group of believers, that joy will be at the center of who they are. The joy will be known, or they'll be known by their joy. And it'll be that place of celebration, of public celebration of your goodness and your faithfulness within this community. Lord, I thank you for Pastor Steve and all that you're doing in him and through him. And Lord, for all that you're doing here, let your celebration abound. Amen.